Welcome to the Me Plus Motherhood podcast. I'm your host, Benita Bench, a coach for mothers, author, speaker, and mum of four boys. Me Plus Motherhood is for all mothers who want to reclaim me in motherhood. If you are ready to return to and love the new you, find your spark again, gain clarity and confidence, improve your mindset, and give yourself permission for health and happiness, you're in the right place. Hello and welcome back to another episode of Me Plus Motherhood. I'm your host, Benita Bench, and today I'm joined by the lovely Katrina Myers, who I have known for a couple of years now, and we've become colleagues slash friends slash podcast guests slash growing our businesses together. She is an absolute shining light in the rural women, rural business women, rural entrepreneurship space, and has so much wisdom to share. I'm really excited to have you on the show today, Katrina.
Oh, hello, Benita. Thank you so much for having me. It is a joy to be here, as always.
So I'm not going to read out Katrina's bio today. I'm going to let her introduce herself and start off by telling us a bit about her, her family, her work, and anything else that you'd like to share, Katrina. Go for it.
Okay, awesome. Well, you know, I'll try and give you the short version, Benita, without going on too much. But yeah, so we are avocado farmers down on the Murray River. So I call myself a farmer, but I don't do a lot outdoors these days, I have to say, but I'm very much involved in kind of the strategic direction, but not so hands-on. So yeah, so we're farming down at Barron. We've also got an Airbnb on the property that I've just set up recently. So I'm hosting a gorgeous little Airbnb retreat now, which was a house that my mum built and then she moved down to Ballarat. So it's this awesome house and I've been actually just loving setting that up so much. It's been fabulous. And
what's it called for anyone who wants to look it up?
It's called Lost and Found Retreat. So it's on Instagram and it's on Airbnb and stuff at Barham. So yeah, it's really special and it's been a lot of fun actually because I love interior design and I love, you know, just doing that kind of stuff and tourism and all of that. So there's that. And then I also have my own business teaching meditation, a bit of coaching, online courses, really to help and support women to, you know, I know it always sounds so cliche, but like live their best lives, adapt to change, make change, align to what they really want in the world, you know, implement growth for themselves and all those beautiful things. And so I do that as well. That's kind of, I guess, my main passion and focus. I'm really, really passionate about just helping rural people to thrive and live well. And supporting women to just grow and start businesses, be entrepreneurs, be innovative, do all of those things. And I know that that comes from a base of having good well-being and having the foundations in place. And so I love doing that. And then I've got two podcasts, actually. So I have my own podcast, which is about to relaunch tomorrow with a new name. It's going to be This Rural Life. So I'm excited about that. And then I do a podcast with a couple of friends, Leonie Canham and Christy O'Brien, and it's called Spreading the Good Stuff. And it is so much fun. We just love that chat. We would do it just for ourselves, I think, just to have a good old chat. So yeah, that's a little bit of a summary about all the things that I do. I'm also like on a not-for-profit board member and all that kind of thing. But yeah, it sounds busy, but it's not too bad. I actually feel quite, yeah, it's good. I love it.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Thank you. Thanks for the overview. And your your podcast used to be called the Rural Rockstar Podcast, which is how I came to first know you. And for anyone else who's listening who sees the rebrand and thinks, oh, is that the same person? Yes, it is.
Yes, exactly. So, but I should also say I do also have four kids and a husband, but like obviously
that's still, we'll just tack that onto the end.
Exactly. Yep, that's about how it usually goes with me. No, not really. They're a big priority as well. But yeah, so yes.
And how old are your children?
So Daisy's the older, she's 13. And so it's 13, 11, 9, and 5. Yes. Similar to you, I think.
Not quite, mine aren't quite.
Bit younger.
Mine are a bit younger.
Yeah.
So this conversation is going to be all about this conversation around productivity versus presence. When you say yes to something, what are you saying no to? And kind of comes from that conversation around the juggle and where do you place your energy in
as mums, as entrepreneurs, or whatever it is that you have going on in your world and that you're passionate about or working on, doesn't have to be business. It can be some sort of enterprise, community work, your family, your farm, whatever it is. Where do you put your energy? And this concept of this conversation came in about September last year. Gosh, that's only 12 months ago, when I was talking to Katrina, bouncing off her about an award I was considering applying for. And I was so close to the line of, I'm going to do this. It's something I've always wanted to do. And should I do it? Should I not? And that was the catalyst for this discussion and this topic around, okay, well, if you do say yes to this, be prepared that you're also saying no to something else and be aware of that and think about that. So I guess to give you some context and some background, and it was really powerful to have that conversation with Katrina. So I've seen her talk about this a fair bit on social media since then. So I wanted to have her on for us to thrash it out and offer some insights and some concepts to our listeners. I feel like it'll be really valuable for everyone listening, because as mums, we make those decisions every day, right? Don't we?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Daily.
Daily. It is a constant barrage of decisions, yes, from big to small. Yes. So Trina, just to get started, it's easy to keep ourselves busy being busy without sometimes being productive. Have we become too focused on productivity? What's your view on productivity these days and ways we can actually be more productive doing less?
It's so interesting. And I mean, to be honest, I still struggle with this at different levels on different days, and daily I'm kind of reminding myself of all this stuff. And, you know, if you listen to all the things that I do, some people would look at that and go, geez, you must be so busy. But I don't feel busy necessarily. I don't feel hectic. I don't feel stressed. I don't feel like it's too much. And that has come from a lifetime, or not a lifetime now, from 10 years of kind of working on my foundations, working, meditating, doing all the things that look after me as a human being so that I can show up in the world and do all that stuff without stress and chaos and busy. And I think the thing that I was thinking about this a lot is we've gone this way of like focusing so much on, yeah, being productive, doing all the things, success, achieve, just keep going. But we're doing it, often doing it in this way that's very unconscious. And when I look back to where I was, you know, 10 years ago prior to starting to do the work on myself and learning meditation and doing all the things, I was very much running unconsciously, and I was busy and it was rushed and it was hectic, and I was probably not doing that much more than what I was now, but how I was approaching it and the way I was dealing with it was so much different because it wasn't consciously, and there was no presence. I was just coasting through and I didn't have any tools or skills or awareness about the choices I was making or why I was doing things. And I think now when I think about it, the key thing is it's about living this life aligned to you, like figuring out what it is that you actually want to do, what really lights you up, what your actual values are, and living a life that's true to what you really want, not just what you're doing because you think you should and you're doing it for the sake of it. But to get to that point where you actually have the ability to make those choices, to be consciously aware of what you're doing throughout the day, to, you know, to choose, you have to have a baseline of feeling good and functioning well first. Because if you're in stress, chaos, rush, busy, you run down, you're exhausted, it's really hard to even think about those things, you know, and to have a level of awareness and to be present. Like, honestly, being present is like the hardest thing to do. It's really, really hard to be present in a moment, for any moments throughout the day. Most of us are on autopilot. We get up, we rush into the day, we go to work, we do the things, we get home, we rush around after the kids, or we make dinner, we put on a bit of Netflix and we go to bed, repeat, have a glass of wine. And it's all without even consciously thinking about any of those steps. And so it's actually the art of learning to be present, which takes a baseline of good well-being, of setting those foundations, you know, getting our battery charged, all of that stuff, and then being able to consciously choose how we're going to show up in our days, the things that we really want to do that really light us up. And it's really, really tricky because we are told and we think and we want to do so much. And, you know, there's often this thing of like, and I get this myself, like I want to do something good and something big in the world, and I want to make an impact and I want to leave a legacy and I want to do all these things. And I'm constantly conflicted with, but it's actually enough just to be me, just to be present, just to be here, just to connect to myself. I don't have to do any of that stuff. So it's this constant internal battle with that. But I think the key thing is actually aligning. If you're coming from a place of you're doing it for you, and this is where I've got to with myself. So I'm like, okay, I've got the foundations. I'm great. I feel good. I'm functioning well. I've got lots of energy. I don't feel stressed. I'm not too busy. I'm choosing to do this stuff because it lights me up and it makes me feel good. And it's not taking me away from, you know, how I feel and how I'm showing up. It's just stuff that I really genuinely want to do and that really lights me up. And I think that's okay. I think that's the place you want to get to. Not just doing it because, you know, you think you should be doing it and it's running you ragged and you're exhausted and you're heading in towards burnout. Like that's where the problems are, I think. But it's a lot of work in a lot of ways, but it's worth it.
So define presence.
Okay. So
it's a term we use a lot, but what's presence really to you?
Well, it's being in the moment, being fully aware, just coming, you know, into your body and noticing the smells, the scents that you're having a cup of tea. It's as simple as like when you're having your coffee in the morning. So like I really try to be like, okay, I'm going to enjoy this coffee. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to soak in the flavors and I'm going to enjoy each mouthful. But you know, even that is hard sometimes. Like some mornings I just do it without thinking. I'm getting much, much better at actually taking that time to do that. Presence is stopping. And when your kids talk to you, looking them in the eye, looking back at them in the eye, putting the phone away, putting the cup of tea down, putting the dishes down, putting the dinner away, just genuinely, and your husband or your partner or whatever, or your kids, and just genuinely looking them in the eye and listening. It's not multitasking. It's like when you're going to do some work, which is still, again, this is very hard for me still. Like I always have, you know, five screens open and the phone.
Thank you for your honesty.
Like there's moments where I'm good with this stuff and then there's other moments where I'm not. But, you know, it's actually just focusing on one task at a time. And, you know, it's so interesting. Oliver Berkman, I've listened to him on a couple of things. He wrote the 4,000 Weeks book. I forget what the exact title is, but you've only got 4,000 weeks left.
Yeah.
So all these tools that we have to make us be able to just do more stuff every day are just making us do more stuff. They're not actually saving us any time. You know, all these apps that we have to be more efficient just make us do more stuff. So, and that just makes us more stressed and more overwhelmed. So it's not really helping. Like this idea of kind of trying to get it all done, we'll never get it all done. You will never get it all done. So you have to just, and you know, like that's a life. A life is being present and enjoying every moment. And when you're stuck in the future or thinking about the past, you're not living the life that you're living now. And it's actually quite a hard concept to get presence, I reckon. It's quite hard. Because do you think it's hard?
Yes. And I'm going to hazard a guess that the moments of feeling present as mums or as inverted commas productive or high achieving women are far and few between. Mm-hmm. Like I think we're often multitasking in our mind. We might not be putting the dishes away or we might actually physically be stopped. But I know my challenge is not multitasking my thoughts at the same time. Mm-hmm. So because we get addicted to thinking, we get addicted to that total stream of thoughts, which let's face it, most of them are not helpful. They're just playing on loop and unnecessary in that moment. We can get very attached to this little world we live in our minds. So to actually fully come into your body and be present, I felt it at a retreat, the retreat we ran in my business in May. I felt fully present for the first time in quite a while and almost had a moment of panic. Like, oh my gosh, I've got no thoughts. I've got no thoughts. Like it was a real moment of, I'm not thinking about anything. And it was beautiful. and coming to that point was like, now I know that I'm not present a lot of the time. And not to say that we can't think, but a lot of the thoughts we think is just mental activity for no point. So yes, I agree. It's challenging. And it's challenging when you're in an environment that's full on and in a society that rewards doing stuff.
Definitely.
So what do you think about doing less? Is that how we get more present? Is doing less taking off our list?
So I think
the solution?
You know, I think it's important to remember that there's seasons and reasons for life as well too. And, you know, if you're in the trenches with a new baby, like it's, well, I mean, I guess your only opportunity to be present are like with the baby when you're breastfeeding maybe, or, you know, if you've got young kids, you know, a huge piece of this is self-compassion and acknowledging that there's different seasons in your life where there'll be different times where this stuff is more manageable or it's harder or you've got to work harder at it, or but there's always opportunities to take moments for being present. But and something else, and then I'm going to have to ask you the question again because I lost my train of thought, but something else that came up to me there when you were talking was about being in the body. Mm. And I just wanted to highlight that because you said, and that is a key part of actually being present. Like if the more, it's and it's a great tool for being present, coming into your body and just noticing a quick little body scan, noticing your breath, or just literally coming out of your mind and into your body is the best way to become present and be in the moment, because you're so right. And that's, for me, it's like the thing that's helped me the most is the meditating, because my thoughts used to be just ridiculous. And a lot of the busy is actually, as you say, it's our thoughts, you know, and if we can create more space in our mind, calm our nervous systems and, you know, create that mental space, that's what makes us feel less busy. And we can make better choices. We can prioritize more easily. We can plan out our days and our weeks more clearly because we've got this, we're not, you know, fixating on what someone said to us last week, or, you know, that friend that's being horrible, that work colleague, or like, you know, you don't get lost in those downward spirals of negative thinking, like you said, and addicted to those thought patterns, because you've got this more clear mind, I guess, and space in your mind to be able to make better choices. And now you'll have to remind me of what your question was initially there, because I went off on a total other train, Benita.
I think it was, is doing less
the answer.
The answer to becoming more present.
Yes. So I've been giving this a lot of thought lately too. And I think sometimes yes. And I think it really depends. It's like I said to you, I've been able to now find this place in my life where I don't feel like I need to do less because, you know, the stress is not there because my capability and my resources within myself are able to meet the level of stuff that's coming in. I mean, that's what stress is. It's when your resources that you have don't meet the level of stuff that you have to cope with that's, you know, being put on you. So I think if you're stressed and you're heading towards burnout and you're exhausted, then yes, doing less is going to be really crucial. And you're going to have to think about what you can say no to, where you can implement some boundaries, what you can give up and how you can prioritize yourself. And that will honestly be the hardest part, like actually making those choices and taking that time to prioritize yourself. But that's the key thing. So yes, sometimes doing less is what you need to do. And that's hard. And this is, again, where it's hard for us women, especially for many of us who want to do great things in the world, you know, and a lot of your wholehearted listeners will be like, but I want to do great things, or, you know, yeah, I don't want to do less.
I want to do more.
Exactly. So what I would say to that is, if you prioritize yourself, if you get your boundaries right, if you get your battery charged, so start moving, start having more rest, get better sleep, eat well, and have meaningful connection and get those foundations right, you'll be able to do more. But sometimes you've sort of got to, like, it's like we put the self-care stuff like, oh, that's a nice to have. Like, when I've got more time, I'll start exercising, or, yeah, look, when I've got more time, I'll start eating better. Like, it's like, no, if you get that stuff right, then you'll have more time. So that's the key thing. You got to get, they're the foundations, they're the building blocks, getting your battery charged and getting back to feeling good and functioning well. Do that first, and then you can do all the beautiful things that you want to do in the world in a way that you can cope with it, because you'll have the battery charged and the resources to be able to do it.
That is so such gold for our listeners. Thank you, Katrina. And I wholeheartedly agree. I have also had similar reflections recently around my life being no less full than it has been in the past, but I feel like I'm living more in alignment now with my needs and myself, and therefore feel much less stressed. Like, people would look at me and go, how on earth are you doing all that? I feel like, well, actually I feel so much better than I did 12 months ago. Exactly. Because I've made choices and taken the steps, and, you know, what you talk about, the inner work, have done so much of that to get closer to living more in alignment with who I am and what I need. And therefore, I think it's possible to live with the same fullness of life, but it not be stressful. Because, exactly, as you say, my resources are now matching the input. So it's about building up your resources through whatever it is, meditation or coaching or therapy or whatever you need to build your resources to match, and also letting go of some stuff is helpful too. On the way to that point. Yeah.
Yes. But then you'll have the ability then to make decisions around what I need to say no to. And if you do the work on yourself and you get more self-confidence and you learn, well, hang on, that's not actually good for me, so I need to implement boundaries there. You know, like that will make all of that stuff easier too. So you'll be able to say no to the things that don't light you up, because you'll know, you know, if you get clear on battery charge first, and then if you know what your values are and what actually lights you up and what aligns to your life, then you can be clear on, well, that doesn't line up with what I want to do, I can say no to that, you know. But then this then comes into that whole, like, you know, a lot of women are people pleasers and they want to do stuff for other people and they're putting themselves at the bottom of their priority list. And I think it's so interesting. I interviewed Rebecca Ray recently and I thought she said something really good on this, because I think, again, it's great if you want to do stuff for other people. You know, it's wonderful if you're the person that's looking after others and you're a caring person, and that is fabulous. But not if it's at the expense of all of your needs, you know, like if you're doing that and it's lighting you up, and again, you feel good, you're functioning well, you're not exhausted, you're loving life and you're happy doing stuff for everyone else, then great, continue on with it. But if it's at the expense of your resources, your needs, you're feeling burnout and tired, you're in resentment, then it's time to look at, okay, am I doing this for me because I really want to be doing it, or is it because am I doing it because I think I should be doing it? So I think that's important as well.
I think this brings us back to this conversation about the cost of saying yes. And apologies if you can hear children in the background.
I can't hear them at all.
I can hear them. I'm in my headphones. My microphone's picking it up. I've got two boys home today. The cost of saying yes. And I guess just to build on that story I shared earlier, I didn't end up applying for this award because I weighed it up with what was going on in my world and what I was going to need to commit to the process, and what that would, if I'm putting, my husband calls it the basket. If you put that in your basket, Benita, what are you taking out of the basket? Which is so wise. And he's not a man for metaphors all the time, but that's such a good one. And I've passed it on to some of my clients. Like, if your basket's overflowing, then you need to take something out. So can you share your reflections on this topic, please, Katrina? And what do you think we all need to get better at considering when it comes to saying yes?
Yeah, absolutely. Because this is a huge one for me as well, because I think I've got better at it, but I definitely have FOMO. And of course, I want to do all the things. And then you kind of ego comes in and you see other people, all this stuff, and you're like, oh, I'm going to do that. Because I had exactly the same experience. Like, of course, I've looked at applying for similar awards. And, you know, there's these moments where you're like, oh, it'll be good. But actually, you have to, again, weigh it up, like, why, at what cost? And, you know, like Meg talks to us about this imaginary time. Sometimes you think you've got this, you'll have, you know, when you're thinking about it, it's like, oh, I'll be able to fit that in, it'll be no worries. But
I'm definitely guilty of that.
Oh, me too.
It'll be right. It'll only be one thing or one trip or one, you know, it'll be right.
Exactly, which is why we all need a Meg in our lives, which is
we're
like
talking about Meg Durham.
she met on your podcast yet? You've been on her podcast.
No, I haven't interviewed yet, but I will.
Yes. So go and follow her, because, you know, she is the wise one. But, you know, so having someone like her actually to like run things by is so helpful. But it's this idea that we, you know, when we're thinking about something, it's great. You know, imagination runs wild. Like, I can definitely fit that in, it'll be no worries. And then it comes around to it and you're like, oh my God, there is no way I can do this. And I think there is actually, it's a skill to learn to say no to things, for one, because it's very tempting to do all these things. And again, we only see the glossy photos and pictures and all the good stuff of what these people are doing when they win the awards and it all looks fabulous. I'm like, oh my God, I want to do that. But in reality, they're away from their families. It's taken heaps of time. It's quite stressful. They're exhausted when they're going on all these, like, you got to go on and do trainings for it, and you got to go for the, you know, the judgings and all of those things. And each of those things takes you away from your family and your day to day, and it's exhausting and all those things. So the reality of it is, it's actually all these bits that maybe you don't really want to do, and it's going to cost you too much of your time. And that's the things that you need to drill down into when you're thinking about making these decisions. At what cost, you know? Like, yes, on one level, it's going to be great. Do you have the resources to cope with it? Can your family manage it? Can you manage it? Like, you know, it's not just about going and doing it because it's going to be amazing. There's a lot of other things that come into it. And this is like all sorts of decisions on a daily basis, you know,
applies
like
applies to everything.
Should I go to that party on Saturday night? Well, actually no, because I've got that the next day. Like, and actually you get better at saying no once you start, to be honest. Like then you end up just saying no to more things. Like, oh God, saying no is awesome. Yeah. And you know, if you're the person that just says yes to everything, then people expect that of you. So it does take a little bit of resetting when, because, you know, well, they always say, oh, if you want something done, ask a busy person. Well, yeah, but that busy person's probably exhausted and just can't say no. So I think it's a practice and it's a skill and it gets easier the more you do it. And it's, yeah, you just always got to look at things, get curious, like go to that next layer. And I try to now be more to say, more inclined to say no first. Or I'll think about it. Like, don't just jump in and say yes. Like, actually think about what that's going to cost you and have, give yourself some space to think about the actual cost of it.
And know yourself to know how you make decisions. Some people do make decisions quickly off a gut reaction. Some people need time to think about things. And it comes down to this personal awareness of, do I need to give myself space? Because in the past I said yes straight away and then I ended up having to say no. Because I didn't give myself the time to actually think about it and weigh it up. So that place of where am I making this decision from? Is it coming from scarcity or is it coming from abundance or is it coming from people pleasing? Or is it something I actually really want to do? So really checking in with where it sits on that spectrum. Do you agree? Like you've got to,
Oh, absolutely agree. And then also knowing that like, just because you say no this time doesn't mean the opportunity. Like sometimes we can tell ourselves, oh, I've got to do it now because, you know, and
I'm going to run out of time.
Exactly. And quite often when you say no to one thing, another door opens and it actually allows space for something else good to come in, you know, that you might not have seen or noticed if you were in, again, it comes back to that being present. You know, the more you fill up your days, the less present you are, and you might miss something else that's actually a beautiful opportunity or that actually makes you, lights you up so much more if you actually tune into what you really value and why it's important to you. And coming back, when you're making these decisions, yes, I agree, everyone's like makes decisions differently, but also the why, like, why do I really want to do this? You know, and getting really honest and real about that. Like, is this something that I really want? Genuine me, inner me, you know, self versus my ego just thinks it'd be great for my ego and or, you know, because I should or because so-and-so will be upset with me if I don't or, you know, coming back to what you really want and why I think is really, really important in that decision-making process.
That's so good to share that. Earlier on, you mentioned the words conscious choices and success in the first question. How do people... Or what would you say to people who are trying to decide for themselves what their definition of success is? Because some people generally would be like, well, I don't know if I should do this or not. Like, I don't know. How do you define success for yourself?
Yeah, well, it's different for everybody is the first thing to say. Like, you know, what success is for you is very different from what success is for me. And that's the first part of it is knowing that it's not, we've sort of, again, it ties into this, like this overall idea of in society what success looks like, you know, and there's kind of stigmas around that and there's history around that and there's tradition around that, especially in rural Australia, like there's certain roles that we, you know, fit into. I think that's changing a lot, but it has been that way. So I think defining success for you starts from figuring out, well, again, it's getting the headspace to actually stop and spend the time to think about it, which often we don't have. And then it's getting clear, really clear on what your values are and what actually is important to you. And that is hard too. I mean, the values work is really hard. Like, I don't know if anyone, Brené Brown, obviously you would love Brené Brown as well. And some of your listeners might know Brené Brown, but she says she's got the value list that you can go through and you need to get it down to two core values. Well, that is very hard, let me tell you. I don't know if you've been able to do that, Benita, but I find it very hard to get down to two.
I can
do
about five, but I don't know about two. That's pretty tricky.
But then you can kind of use that as your filter. And I think also, when you're starting out with this stuff, like it's good to get really clear on it, but then you sort of have your, once you get in terms of your values, like get really clear on what they are and use them as your guidepost to start with, but then you get more of just an innate feeling about whether this is something that's good for you or not. You know, like, again, it's practice. The more you start to actually be like curious every time an opportunity comes up, or then it just becomes like a muscle and you kind of just know more. And it's always evolving, you know, it's not to draw a line in the sand. This is what success is for me. I'm working towards this. In the next 5 years, I'll be there. Like, you know, like, what if, as everybody always says, it's not the destination, it's the journey. And you do really, like, I fully get that, you know, it's not about this, because for me, the point that I don't even know if I'm actually aiming for any particular point, but that is constantly changing and evolving, and I'm changing and evolving as a person. But I think, again, it's coming back to, okay, consciously thinking about, taking that time to consciously think about what is important to me, what are my values, what really lights me up. And you can do that wonderful thing about, like, okay, I'm on my deathbed and I look back on my life, what am I most proud of and what did I really get joy out of? And, you know, Bronnie Ware's book, she always says, most people just say Bronnie Ware's has written the book, The 12 Regrets of the Dying. I always assume that, like, everybody's read the same things that I have, but Bronnie Ware's 12 Regrets of the Dying, she says the number one regret of people is that they didn't live a life that was true to them. So I think that's the thing to do, like, put yourself, and, you know, another little exercise I love to do is, like, if I had $5 billion and I didn't have to worry about money, what would I do?
Yeah.
You know, and asking yourself these questions and putting yourself on your deathbed and being like, okay, I look back on my life, you know, and it's not going to probably, well, I mean, so for some people it might be, oh, I wish I'd worked more, or I wish I'd, you know, done something that, you know, got an award. But for a lot of people, it'll be like, you know, I wish I spent more time with my family. I wish I was more present. I wish I traveled more. I wish I, you know, did things that I found more joy in, you know. And so I think it's getting clear on that. And often you'll be surprised about what success for you actually is when you really ask yourself those questions.
We need a Katrina's recommended reading list after this podcast.
Yes, it'll be long.
So thinking about resourcefulness and matching our resources with what we've got on our plate, and I know you're very focused on well-being, you know, you're a well-being coach. You've arrived at meditation being a core part of your world, your daily practices, your business, what you support other people with. What do you love about meditation, and why have you chosen to focus more on that in your business?
Yeah. So for me, it's just that it's been the most powerful kind of, I guess, life-changing tool that worked most effectively for me. And I think, well, I mean, I'm almost 100% certain that if everybody meditated, it would help them. Like, there's so much research and stuff to show. I mean, some people say, oh, I just can't meditate and all that stuff. But honestly, like, it's so good. So, you know, that the jury's out on that. In saying that, a well-being journey and a life journey, and, you know, what it means to you to have good self-care and to feel good and function well, like, that'll be different for everybody. You've got to look at the options that are available to you and then figure out what works for you. And so while I do 100% know that meditation would work for everybody, it may not be the thing that you decide to do. But for me, it was just that, and it might have been the timing, but it just, it changed so much. And I think for someone who had a very busy, busy mind, and I had a really challenging friendship that just was like this habitual cycle spiral in my mind, and I would wake up and think about it. It was very toxic in my own mind, you know, and this was really, really challenging, and I would just think about it all the time. And when I learned to meditate, it taught me the skills to notice my thoughts and then choose again, basically. So, like, I mean, just became aware, you know, if you're on autopilot and you've got that hamster wheel of thoughts, then you just get up and have the same thoughts every day. You don't even know it. Meditation is that really powerful tool that just allows you to separate yourself from your thoughts and to stop and to notice your thoughts and be like, oh, hang on a minute, I don't need to think that. And it's work in progress, and it takes a lot of time. I've been meditating for 10 years and I still have, like, you know, lots of thoughts, but it's just there. I'm able to very quickly now be like, oh, hang on a minute. No, that's ridiculous. Move on. Like, where I would have been months thinking about something ridiculous and, like, stewing on it, or someone said something, you know, weeks. Now it's just like, oh, next day I'm fine, you know? So that to me is the power of meditation, because our thoughts are everything. Our thoughts create, our feelings create, our actions create everything we do. So if you can use this tool, this awesome meditation tool, to become aware of your thoughts, it's life-changing. So the reason why I now teach it is because of that. You know, I was like, well, it's changed my life so much. And I'm someone who's like, well, if something, you know, if I find something that works, I want everybody to be able to do it and to know about it and to help them. You know, it's just, that's just what happens. So.
Oh, I love your passion. I just love it. And what would you say to people who are listening to this thinking, I've tried meditation, but I just can't stop thinking? Or, you know how people think, I don't need to clear my mind and have no thoughts, and they give up quickly about that. What would you say?
Well, that's the biggest myth about meditation is like that you have to clear your thoughts. I can't meditate because I can't clear my thoughts and I've got a busy mind. It's like every single human being has a busy mind and no single human being can clear their thoughts. Like that's not what it's about. And I think that's where it's almost like, to me, that's almost like a bit of a scapegoat. It's like, oh, well, I can't meditate because I can't clear my thoughts. But meditation's a practice, you know, it's like someone saying they can't run. Well, anyone can run. Or I can't walk. Well, anyone can walk. Anyone can meditate. But it's letting go of that idea that it has to be some perfect clear, I'll sit down and then my thoughts will just disappear. Like that's just not how it works. So I still have my morning meditation because I meditate twice a day now. I do like a Vedic meditation. So my morning meditation is still full of thoughts, very busy, lots of thoughts. And it's just about that letting the thoughts come and go and not attaching any emotion to them. Yes. And now in my afternoon one, I can have some really beautiful time where it's like, ooh, this is so lovely and I'm not thinking anything. And then, oh, no, there I am thinking again. So, you know, it's letting go of the idea that meditation is about clearing your thoughts. That's not the aim of it. It's about letting those thoughts come and go and not attaching judgment to them, which is life-changing, like I said.
Absolutely life-changing. And if you need to learn how to meditate, follow Katrina.
Yes.
Because she can teach you.
Absolutely. I would love to. It's such a gift. Yeah.
Or if you want to, I imagine a good portion of listeners have a desire to learn more about meditation. I would say a good portion of the population knows it's good for them, but doesn't know where to start. They're scared. They've tried something, hasn't worked, et cetera. So find someone like Katrina or find Katrina and get on board the meditation train.
Just start small and get going. Yep.
Yeah. So finally, Katrina, what would you say are your top three or top tips or strategies for my audience in terms of managing all that you have on your plate with joy and ease?
Yeah. Okay. So the first thing is charge your battery, check in with your battery. This is another one that Meg brings to the world, Meg Durham. She always talks about this battery and now I use it all the time too because it's just so good. So I mentioned it earlier. Are you getting enough rest? So you can just do a little quick analysis in the last 24 hours. Are you getting enough rest, like downtime, you know, chill time, reading a book, just sitting, doing nothing, watching Netflix, like actually having a little rest? Are you sleeping well? Are you eating nutritious, healthy, yummy food? Are you moving your body daily? Are you having meaningful connection? So that means, you know, with your kids, with a friend, have you gone for a coffee recently? Like, you know, get those basics down. And that is, if you don't have those foundations in place, then everything is so much harder. You know, when you're exhausted, when you're tired, when you're feeling like you haven't got any connection, when you're not eating well, if you're not moving your body, then like that's just, you're already stressed, anxious, no doubt, like feeling exhausted. So get that basics right. Then the next thing would be to figure out what your values are. Like, you know, get really clear on what you value in life and what's important to you and what lights you up. And then learn to meditate. And then actually start to do things, like allow yourself to have more joy. Like think about what's brought you joy recently and what actually lights you up. And when was the last time you felt true joy and you enjoyed doing something? And then start to just try and implement micro moments of more of that.
Yes. Love it. Follow the feelings.
Yes.
Follow the path of the feeling. Your feelings are always guiding you. Follow the breadcrumbs of what's bringing you joy and bring more of that into your world. Yeah. I love that expression of what lights you up. What lights you up, Katrina?
Well-being.
No. Never was less.
People say to me, like, what's your hobby? I'm like, well, it's like enjoying all, exactly, like all this stuff. What lights me up is conversations like this with you, 100%. Conversations with my friend Meg, doing my podcast, doing this work that I love to do in the world, like seeing other women shine. Like, it really is just all of this work. I just love it. It really lights me up. It just makes me feel good and brings me joy, you know? So, and I think that's a key thing, you know, when often it's not the huge big things that are the things that bring us the most joy, if we get really honest about that. So I think that's really, really important. And the last thing I would say is overlay all of this with a layer of self-compassion, you know, self-compassion is so key. So if you're right now, if you can honestly go, oh God, my battery is so flat, I'm exhausted. okay, be kind to yourself. You're doing your best. You might have little kids. You're working your butt off. Like, you're human. And 90% of the people listening probably feel like that. And that's so fine. So it's like, okay, that's cool. I'm human. And I'm going to go and do one thing this week just for me. Yes. And I'm going to do one thing like move my body, or I'm going to do one thing like eat something healthy. Like, just choose one thing and start there and be super kind to yourself.
Thank you for adding that, because no doubt there is someone listening who is totally sleep deprived with sick children, newborn, living with children with disabilities, whatever it might be, where some of this stuff could just feel impossible. So step by step, small choices, and just that, like, knowing you always have a choice, like, okay, with this lunch, maybe I'm not cooking a gourmet nutritious meal, but I'm going to put some spinach with it, or I'm going to have a water instead of a coffee, or, you know, just these micro choices. And that's probably a real theme that's come through for me having this conversation with you, Katrina, is all about conscious choices and being aware in order to make conscious choices. And I think life is really just a whole series of choices, isn't it? And if we can make more conscious choices in a way that feels good for us, in a way that it leads us in the direction we want to go, then we'll get the foundations right and step by step.
That's it. And knowing that being conscious and making conscious choices is actually the hardest part. So that's okay. You know, it takes work, it takes practice. Meditation is a great tool to bring more awareness and become more conscious. And I think it's just knowing that that is actually really hard, and that's okay. And it's just work and keep going, because it's so worth it. You know, it's like we always say, it's hard either way. It's hard if you stay stuck in the grind, you're exhausted, you burn out, you're on the hamster wheel, and the work is hard, but the payoff for doing this sort of work, taking care of yourself, prioritizing yourself, learning all this stuff, it's so, so worth it.
Yeah. Thank you, Katrina. This has been an amazing conversation. So much useful information in it for our listeners. Thank you for your time. And we'll link everything to Katrina in the show notes. So be sure to have a look so you can follow her and keep up with all the amazing things that she does and the beautiful person she is. Thank you, Katrina.
Thanks, Benita. It was so lovely. Thank you. See you guys.
Thank you for listening to the Me Plus Motherhood podcast. If you've loved this episode, please subscribe, leave a review, and share with other mothers. If you are on the journey of motherhood, ready to reconnect with who you are, find your spark again, and shine your light bright, head on over to BonitaBench.com, or my handle is @BonitaBench on Instagram and Facebook to connect with me there. See you in the next episode.